Welcome back to The Mountain Life. I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
From superhuman to ultra superhuman, we now welcome to the show Brian Tolbert, who in a past life was an elite bike racer and has now turned his energies to trail running, working full-time as a sales rep, and spending his remaining free time as a husband and father of, I think it's four children, in Heber Valley. Welcome, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. And it's even greater to know that you're a local, but just a fantastic runner, and you are running for, I believe it's Under Armour currently. Is that correct?
I am, yeah. Yep, Under Armour is one of my main sponsors, them and Backcountry.com and Jaybird. So I have quite a few local sponsors as well, but those are my big sponsors that help me out.
And what is it like to be a sponsored ultra runner?
I don't know. This seems to be a bit of a trick question. It's
yes.
I mean, being an ultra runner in general is tough. You got to be a glutton for punishment. And being a sponsored ultra runner adds just that much more complexity to it. There's, you know, you have to do different sponsorship requests and different races and different media requests and that kind of stuff. So, but it's also great because they enable me to have my family with me to go do all these things. My family travels with me to all the races around the world. And so it makes it, they make it possible for me to do and have those experiences with my wife and my kids.
And so that brings up the other question. How do you balance all that? I mean, is it four kids that you have now or five?
I have four kids, man. Okay. Yeah, no, don't give me any more than I got. Four is a lot.
At some point, you lose count. After two, I would lose count. So.
Yeah, they outnumber us greatly. So I have four kids under. My oldest is 13. And so it is a juggle. And I would say I'm first and foremost a father and husband. Then I have a job, a normal job, and then I'm an ultra runner because that seems to be the priority shift.
Right.
But really, it's honestly like juggling. And sometimes, you know, you're just trying to keep all the balls in the air, especially this time of year when there's a lot of miles to be had and pretty deep in training, but work's also pretty busy. And, you know, you have the kids in quarantine and everything else and homeschooling. It's been a crazy time. It's my wife who is she's the glue. She holds it all together. Without her, we definitely wouldn't be able to be doing this kind of stuff.
So, Brian, you mentioned that you were a former elite cyclist and sort of discovered running in your mid-30s. And I've noticed before, if you look at, say, the results of the Wasatch 100, I was looking for a friend of mine that did it to see how he did. And it is amazing the number of people in their 40s, 50s, and even 60s who are running 100 miles on trails. And I'm wondering if there's something about ultra running that, you know, is it the headspace that you're able to get in as you age that, you know, is kind of more mind over matter? Or is it something about the way your body functions that can go maybe longer but not, you know, short, fast and short and as a sprint?
No, that's a great question, Lynn. I think it's probably a little of both, honestly. I think your body, in my experience, like I've lost top end speed as I've gotten older. You know, I don't have that sprint speed, but I've gained, you know, the cumulative years of training really make a big difference. And that helps you get through quite a bit of that, 100 miles is a long time, you know, 24, 30 hours on the trail. It's you need that cumulative time on your feet to be able to do well at that.
We asked Alicia Nicewander, who we were speaking with before, and Pete chimed in as he's an ultra runner as well, wondering about nutrition, and she said she doesn't even think really about the percentages of protein, carbs, and fat and all that. What's your program?
I joke that I survive off of half-eaten Happy Meals, honestly. getting calories is my number one issue right now when you're training and juggling all that, and we're running kids around and all that stuff. So it's literally just all the calories I can get at this point. I don't worry as much about quality as I'm just burning pretty hot. You know, in the off season, I run a little bit less. I try to eat better, but, right now it truly is just, staying on top of it. staying top of those calories. I wish I had a better plan. I just run more.
I definitely would have taken you for a little more scientific, Brian, with your biking and racing background.
You know, I have over the years, like I've been better and I've been vegan, I've been vegetarian, I've been done all the kind of ups and downs. And honestly, that's for my body and for what I've been doing, like that's what I figured out is right now. It's such a struggle for me to stay on top of the calories on any of those other plans and programs that the benefits just didn't outweigh the negatives. So really it's just listening to my body and eating what sounds good and what I think would be best and staying on and make sure I have enough calories.
And I'm going to give a little background, a little history. First time we actually got to run together was an FKT attempt on Zion Traverse. And Brian inspired me by driving his dirt bike at 4 a.m. to the trailhead on the east side of Zion. And I met him about 10 miles in. And he was chipper and ready to go, and we were going for the fastest unsupported time. And he dropped me. Brian is one of the few, at least back then, that could drop me. And now many can drop me, and there's a little competition at when Brian will drop me at Twisted Fork. Brian's Brian's an elite athlete, but also just a fun, good guy. So the question I'm going to ask, that was a great day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, FKT.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Fastest known time.
Okay.
We missed it just by a bit, I believe. Is that correct?
Like less than a minute. Yeah, that was crushing, especially knowing now that FKT
will
never be broken because the trail is gone. And to know that we were literally less than a minute of over like 9 hours of having that self-supported FKT, that's pretty tough. That's a tough one to swallow.
What happened to the trail? Just fell into oblivion?
The Overlook
Rock
Trail.
Rockslide.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rockslide and Zion slid, and it took out a whole section of the trail, which the Park Service has said won't ever be able to repair.
No, yeah.
Unfortunately, so. That was a great time. Although probably the most exciting part of the day was getting my 45-year-old motorcycle 5 miles down the road in the middle of the night when my headlight went out. So that was some good times.
Many adventures. So your next adventure is Twisted Fork, and you're going to be starting in the first heat. I'll be starting in the second heat. My goal is to catch you and then have you drop me at some point. When will you drop me?
That's a good question. I don't know what to think about Saturday and how it's going to go for me. It's been 18 months since I raced last. I had a pretty significant injury a little over a year ago with a ruptured Achilles. And so this is the longest I've gone since I was 12 years old of not racing. So Twisted Fork is just a little bit of a tester to see how my body's doing, see where I'm at just try and be smart. So I hope you catch me early and I drop
together.
You late. Yeah. I hope it comes along. We can chat for a while and then I'm able to finish strong is the goal.
If you're just joining us, we are speaking with Brian Tolbert. He's an ultra runner, a professional ultra runner, unlike my co-host Pete, who's
amateur.
Just an ultra runner. Yes. That's why you're starting in the second heat.
That's right.
They're both doing the Twisted Fork Trail Ultra coming up in and around the mountains of Summit County and Wasatch County. Is it, 64 or 67 kilometer, 64-kilometer course taking place this Saturday again? And where shall we avoid going on trails? Well, no, actually, it's pretty easy. When people are ultra running, they're all spread out and they're slower and, you know, if you see them on the trails, it's kind of fun and supportive. But where will we see you in and around Summit County?
I think we'll be down on the northern end of Summit County on the Glenwild Trails. Where else? 24/7.
Flying Dog, 24/7.
Bob's Basin, Great Western Trail up over Big Mountain. So we'll be on that north end of the county there.
Mm-hmm. And how many runners? And why was this not canceled?
It's one of the few in the country right now. That's actually why I wasn't originally on my calendar. And when this one came back up, I was excited to be able to race close to home. I think it's a lot with the organization of Twisted Fork being able to work with the county and the health department to make it safe. And I'm excited to see it. It really is a model for the other race organizers throughout the country. Right now, everybody's watching very closely on how they do it and what the protocols are and how to make one successful. So it's great to see them on the forefront.
And so one of the modifications that the race is doing is heated starts, wave starts. And like I mentioned earlier, you'll be starting in the first heat, fastest runners first, and then progressively less focused on time as they keep going.
Waves of 10, right?
Waves of 10. Yep, waves of 10. So Brian's in the first heat, and then a few of us are in the second. And so what do you think about this idea of heated starts? What do you anticipate? How do you think social distancing will go? I will, you know, also preface this with, you know, I ran with Brian and he had a neck gaiter on, even on our socially distanced run. So he's very conscientious of the health standards.
Yeah, no, this whole COVID-19 crisis has hit me pretty hard. My mom's been sick for about 9 weeks, just coming out of it. And so it's hit very, very close to home. So I've been very conscientious trying to, wear masks, stay socially distanced. But I really think this wave starts, you know, these races spread out pretty quickly in the best cases when it's a mass start. So I really think as you spread out in waves of 10, it will go very well. I think it'll be we start in wave starts in all the biggest races anyway, but usually they're, you know, 100 or 50 to 100 people in a wave start, and it just keeps spreads the trail out and just spreads people up so you can pass and you're not stacked on top of each other. I think this with the lead few groups, it will spread out, and I don't think it'll affect the race really at all.
So do you what other propositions would you suggest as far as, hey, maybe try this at a race? Or other wave possibilities?
I mean, I've heard of even doing individual wave starts, so almost like a time trial, doing it 1 minute intervals, which would be interesting. Again, I think even at that, it would end up being the same within 10 miles as you're going to see on Saturday with waves of 10. So it's just a matter of just being efficient with it.
Brian, I'm wondering for our listeners who are hearing you talk about ultra running, it's a huge commitment in terms of time to just getting out there and running on the trail. You have 4 kids, you have a full-time job. What else did we, homeschooling, of course. We acknowledge that your wife has done most of that, right?
She's amazing, but
And what strikes me is, you know, there are some of us who I guess need less sleep than others. You know, are you one of those people? And or do you just recover really quickly from all of this? I mean, it's enough for me to, you know, make it out a couple nights a week on a bike ride after my full-time job. And, you know, and I don't have little kids like you do. And then I will be exhausted. So talk about that.
I wouldn't say that I need less sleep than most people, but I probably do sleep less. That's kind of the... I have very, very good headlamps and do that. I oftentimes will put the kids to bed and then go out for my runs and do 3 or 4 hours while everybody's sleeping, or I'll get up really early and try and do it before them.
It's really early, like 3:30?
Dark. Oh. Yeah, like dark. I've had to make it, you know, not had to, but I've made it a priority to not miss any of my kids' soccer, miss any of my kids' dance or any of those things. You know, at this point in my life, like, the highest priority isn't running. I'm honest, it's my family. And so while it gives us great opportunities, it is on the scale of, on the ranking, it's below family, below my job and that. So I really have to fit it in when I can. And so that involves just really being efficient in the rest of my day and scheduling these things in there and trying to be as scheduled as possible. For all the different workouts and different runs and where they're at. And so, It's not perfect. I dropped the ball in different places in my life at different points, I'm sure. But we make it work.
Brian's one of the most difficult to schedule for a run because he's balancing so much. And there's numerous text messages where if it's not 4 a.m. in the morning, he can't go. So.
Yeah, it's tough, and it's such a variable schedule sometimes. It's like I have a meeting canceled, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go. I got an hour break. I'm going to hurry and go right now while I can. So it's just one of those things. I spend a lot of time by myself in the dark. Mm.
So does an ultra runner then grab time, as you say? It might be an hour in the middle of the day when a meeting canceled, but then you would have already run a couple of hours in the morning, and you'll probably run a couple more at night. Is that
sometimes? Sometimes, and it's not all long runs. Like usually, for me, my schedule's Fridays and Saturdays. I do my long runs, so I'll do 15 to 25 miles usually back to back on back to back days. But other times it's a speed workout at the track for an hour, or it's, some tempo work for another hour here and there. So it's just depends on what the workout is and how I fit it in.
So we're following up with Father's Day here, and mm-hmm. you're going into a race. How do you balance how do you actually actively engage your kids and your family? You mentioned that earlier in this running, because it's your recreational activity. So how do you engage and involve them?
It's a balance, honestly, because I really want my kids to enjoy it and really want to push them. My oldest has started running cross country, but it's this balance. Like, I really want her to do it, and I'm like, this is like, I can help you, but I don't want to be that dad who like is pushing hard at it. And so it's really just embracing and supporting my kids in what they love. And honestly, I don't care what it is. I just want them to love something. So just go after it and have passion after something. I mean, I was lucky enough to be able to grow up and race mountain bike, and the opportunities that it gave me traveling around. And, I started with the original Young Riders group and ODP program in Park City. And it opened up huge things for me in my life. And I just want my kids to have something that they work towards and go at. So while it's not necessarily, always running, it's right now my oldest two daughters are very big into competitive soccer. And so doing whatever I can to support them in that is my goal.
And you've done quite a bit too, whether it's your adventure vehicles or your long weekends with the kids at soccer tournaments.
Yeah.
And then you sneak out for a run.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily have them actively involved, you're not dragging them on a sled on a run, but you're going out and making sure to support them. So that's really amazing.
Most definitely. And honestly, they don't know much different. I mean, my kids have all grown up sitting in the dirt on Saturdays. Like, they think that's what everybody does on the weekend is go to the races and somewhere, go camp with all their friends and hang out in the dirt while dad gets up really early and runs around on who knows where. So it's luckily we also have a pretty great community within the ultra running community of athletes who have kids, and we travel, we end up a lot at the same races, and our kids, they have their running friends, these kids from all over the country, and we get to enjoy time with them, and they excited to it. So we get to go camp and spend time with them while, their dads and moms go and suffer for, a while in the mountains.
Sounds like a good life. It really does. Well, Brian, we have just a minute left or so, a couple minutes, and Pete and I were talking before the show about a little challenge that he is going to throw down here to you and to anyone else in the community. Now, it's been 2 weeks on the show that we've been talking about these ultra endeavors, first with Keegan Swenson breaking the world record for Everesting on a bicycle, and now you and also Alicia Nicewander earlier. And I like the challenge, though, because it has to do with being not necessarily a professional athlete, but it's someone who has a family and has a full-time job. So let's hear it, Pete.
All right. Thanks to the inspiration of Keegan and many around the world who are doing the Everesting, we have a 100K challenge that will start July 1 at midnight. And there is some requirements. So you must be working or volunteering 40 hours a week. So you can't be well, if you are unemployed, you have to work, volunteer 40 yep. hours a week. If you don't have kids, you do have the opportunity to go out 2-3 times a day, whatever it is. But if you do have kids, you get, for 1 hour spending with your kids, you get 100 feet of vert additional to that. So you can go for your run, then spend an hour with your kids, and you get 100 feet vert each day, not more than once. That doesn't mean you can't spend more than an hour with your kids. And let's see who can complete this first or fastest. And there are some great runs. There's a race later on in July in Snowbird. So there's some opportunities if you can't get it done soon and early to get that out of the way. So what do you think, Brian?
I like the challenge. I mean, can I offer up my kids to, like, Keegan? He can babysit if he wants. Like, he doesn't have kids. So I'll gladly offer one or two of those of mine to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it to work. He and Ryan can watch my kids.
That's true. If you don't have kids like Keegan, you can babysit for an hour for free. You can't charge. So.
I'm open to that at any point. So.
Perfect.
I like it.
I love it. Yeah, I'm in for sure.
All right.
And it's really a bonus if you go out for a ride or a run with your kids. See, that's where I am in life. My kids are older. Yeah. So I can go for a ride with my kids, spend quality time, and bonus. Get a 100-foot vertical bonus.
I am fully in agreement of that.
I like that. I think you should be getting an extra bonus for if you take them with you. Like, I think it should be more than just 100. I think we should be getting, like, maybe a couple hundred.
Maybe per if you're carrying each kid.
Yeah, that's true. I got some of that. We can carry per kid. That's all right. Good strength workout.
I like it.
Well, thank you, Brian, for joining us. And I look forward to seeing you on Saturday. And good luck.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Brian. Good luck this weekend.